Come on, come on.
Represent your style like me. Round here, if you stick, you catch a hot one. Try shot, a couple of them down one. Belvedere in the rear of the club, pulled up on dubs, and we about to go and buy the bar up. So strong, for sure we ain't playing. Hang with no lanes, walk and stay.
Hey, where the party at? Girls is on the way, where the Bacardi at?
Yes, we do.
Bottles and models talking all of that.
Outfit just showing that skin, trying to make it on the spit. Where you been, girl? You and your friend need to come to the back. We got it locked out. Be a white t-shirt or a three-piece suit. Don't matter what you wear, all that matters is who you with. Some jiggy, some straight grindy. All up in the club to have a good time.
Oh, hey, where the party at? Girls is on the way, where the Bacardi at? Bottles and models talking all of that.
The one with the rims, the one that seem to make more enemies than friends. I'm sliding in past those, both eyes closed, both arms rolled, both charms rose with the S-O-S-O-D-E-J-L. I said there ain't none left, I'm quick to go left. I plays with no rep, I jams more than death. Baby, show me the club. I'm like, hey, whatever party at? Come and mix it with the Chris, baby, what's wrong with that? We in the VIP twisted, downright stiffed. Two-way, booty, make it like it missed it.
Come on. Party at.
Oh.
Girls is on the way, where the Bacardi at? Bottles and models talking all of that.
Everybody put your hands up, storm, and the beat come back around, everybody do the
beat. Eastside run this mother for ya.
Hell yeah!
Do my Southside run this mother for ya.
Hell yeah!
And them haters ain't hitting on, ain't talking about us, and they look like
it's the party's where you're at, let me say.
Where the party at? Y'all better come on in this room right now. Hey, we over here jamming on the ones and twos. No, actually, I'm actually sitting down. But y'all know how these twinkle toes know how to move on a dance floor. What is going on, family? Oh, my goodness. As I always come back on, you know, I'm blessed to be back on. I always say, oh, it's been a while. And indeed it has, for some good reasons, you know. But before I get into it, family, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. If you're listening live or if you're going to be listening to the archives, we thank you in advance for your time because it's never taken for granted and you are being blessed by the show of Sound Off. Only fear fears, but fear does not live here. And I am your host, Miss Tanya E., also known as Miss Right Now, that grown woman doing grown things that has afforded me to sprinkle on some wisdom as I continue to walk into these wilderness on our climate today. Oh, my goodness, family. we're not going to go into all the other sides of things that are happening. So because I haven't been on a while, if I go left, you know, hey, I'm seasoned, 52 and loving it, 52 and loving it. But I am so grateful for us to be able to come back on this given day and bring back one of our special featured guests, family. And let me tell you something. You have to believe in yourself in order to achieve your inner gifts. You know, nothing is easy. And there's so many people that want to start businesses. And I'll say this, in the climate that we're in, you're always hearing someone say, oh, yeah, start a business. This one, I start a business. Oh, I start a business. But do you have the proper tools and the mindset? It's easy to just get a LLC and say I have a business and pass out business cards. And in our today's, it's the social media. So the attention that is being brought and the people that we are putting on pedestals, or not we, but people, I don't put no one on a pedestal. I treat you the same, just like I would treat the President of the United States, Biden, if he could just stay his tail riding the bike for the purpose of what it was, the two wheels, the feet on the pedestal. But anyway, but I'm saying, you know, it takes a lot to get into the businesses that you choose and to take yourself through, and know that it's going to take time and there's a process to it. Those that you think will support you will not. You will get support from people from afar, family. Please believe you me, but don't give up. Always remember why you started. We all have different gifts. What is for you is for you, what for someone else is for someone else. However, if you have the tools to come together to build up, let it be. But if you're trying to just, you know, be jealous or envious and trying to tear somebody down, you know, just, you know, go on the other side of the road and kick rocks. But to any event, family, without further ado, I am going to bring on our special feature guest. And like I said, he's a returning guest. So if you haven't been able to tune in to the first time he came in, family, I would like to reintroduce you all to you. And so being, here is my special feature guest, my friend, my homie, my peeps. We know him today as Chef Clarence of Our Kitchen.
I'm here. How we doing? What's going on, T? How are you?
I am truly blessed on this brand new giving day, June 22nd, 2022.
Yes.
It's getting hot over here. What is going on with you? Let's break bread, get into it. First, reintroduce yourself to our fam of Sound Off Only Fear Fears, and then we will break this bread because we need to know what's stirring in them pots with them ingredients in them dishes.
How are we doing, everyone? My name is Clarence Fredericks. You know, I'm Chef Clay, owner and proprietor of Our Kitchen Catering. And, you know, this is my second career. This is, you know, I've retired from the New York City Police Department, 30 years I did that. And I decided to pick up a new career. And, you know, cooking has always been my passion. I've been cooking for a long time, I would say most of my life, you know, growing up around others in the kitchen, you know, mom, grandma, great-grandma, you know, even on my dad's side. You know, we all, you know, I come from a long line of you know, family members that can cook and can get down in the kitchen. So I picked up a lot of recipes and techniques. And so now I'm just trying to turn that into a second career.
Okay. Well, we're not going to make it like you said that really fast, but I'm going to go back because we known each other for a long time. And you said, yes, I'm a second career, and then you slightly said, yeah, you retired. NYPD detective for 30 years. Some 30 years is not like it was 3 years. So I'm going to turn the wheel back a little bit, and I'm just going to dip into it just for a little bit, and then we're going to move forward into where you are today. Being a retiree for the NYPD, as well as a detective. For those that didn't hear the first show, tell us a little bit, how did you get started? What inspired you to become a NYPD, and a little bit of your experience within them 30 years to where you are today on the other side now as a civilian, but you will still have that mark because that's your legacy of what's happening in New York, as well as with your former brothers and sisters still active in the NYPD.
That's quite a broad question there. So let me see if I can break this down and kind of answer all of the topics you brought up just now. So what got me started at NYPD? Growing up inner city, African American. I live mostly in Harlem. Had to do a little bit of bouncing around, but mainly I grew up in Harlem. There was a time when David Dinkins was the mayor, and he received some funding from the federal government for the Safe Streets program to hire more police officers for New York City, and the idea was to hire more minorities. So that was one of the ways I was able to get on the police department. My stepfather came to me, and he told me that I should apply, that I should take the test. And at the time, being an adolescent, living in the inner city, African American, who wanted to be a cop at that time? But he told me basically, listen, what is better to be offered and turn it down than to never be offered at all. So that being said, my thing at the time was computers. That didn't work out. I'm not going to bore you with that story. That didn't work out for me. The police department was calling me, and I just decided to kind of go in that direction and just see what it was about. I always put a lot into what my stepfather tells me, only because, he's a magnificent mind, and he just really, he would never give me anything that was going to be bad, detrimental, or going to take me in a negative way. So, I was able to follow along with what he was saying, ultimately get into the police department. That was back in 1991. And, worked very hard, worked my way up through the detective ranks, which I didn't try to go into the supervisory route. I went through the detective, through the investigatory route. And, worked my way up to a first grade detective prior to leaving this, May of 2021, I left. So that's my whole PD, how I got involved, basically what I was doing with NYPD. It's a difficult job to do now. It's very difficult because of, on both sides of the fence. So on one side of the fence, you have, you have those who, who really don't, they really don't care for law enforcement. And, there are those who are so opposed to law enforcement that they are willing to, take everything from them and really get rid of law enforcement and be able to police themselves. And it's a very radical way of thinking, but there are people out there who are like that. And then on the other side, we have law enforcement who, don't make it easy for the majority. You have a few out there in law enforcement who are bad apples. There are some poison seeds, and they make it difficult for individuals, for the masses, who wear the uniform to do it, without being underneath that dark cloud of, you guys are all bad, So, I'm thankful for some of the relationships that I've created with individuals who aren't in law enforcement, with civilians who appreciate and who are able to listen to and hear, what I have to say, and I'm listening to them and hearing what they have to say as well. So, I think that You know, one of the things that more specifically with New York City Police Department is community policing. That was something that really, I think, was a useful tool because it just it made it so that there was a police officer in the precinct that you as a resident, you as a business owner, you know, you would know this person. You knew them by name. You had a cell phone number that you can contact and reach out to them, and they were like your liaison to what, you know, was going on in the precinct and just getting things done. It was just, I think people felt more comfortable having someone that they knew, a familiar face, rather than, you know, you dial 911 and you're not even sure who's going to show up when you do that. Policing was good. I think it's something that we should probably bring back. And so throughout all of this time, throughout this 30 years and even prior to that, you know, I have always been someone who enjoyed cooking. So even while I was on the police department, whenever we had any kind of function, whether we did like a small barbecue for the office or we had a more, you know, elaborate gathering as far as like, you know, through the holidays for Thanksgiving, you know, for Christmas or whatever the case may be, you know, it got to the point where I was asked to, hey, you know what, can you bring some food? Can you bring some trays? Can you make some food? You know, to the point where, you know, we were actually in a unit where I was making breakfast every day, you know. And, you know, it just became something that was like, hey, you know what, you know, this guy, he does his thing, but cooking thing is actually pretty good. You know, we like his food and, you know, so it just made my passion for cooking even more because I knew that at some point I was going to have to leave NYPD and I knew that I was going to be too young to just retire, sit on the sofa and do nothing. So I decided, hey, you know what? Why not get into the food industry? Initially, I was thinking of a food truck, but you know, I think we'll get more into that stuff as we go further into the interview. As far as like, you know, how I got into, you know, the catering and why I'm doing the catering and the whole, you know, the business.
Hey!
That's all.
Hey, didn't we have this kind of situation the first time, Mr. Frederick? Hello.
Yeah, I'm going to
have
myself out.
You might do her thing, you know what I mean? So we appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are going to get into that. And we thank you for giving us what you have deposited thus far. And much respect to Mr. Lake and your mom and your family for instilling everything they have within you to where you know, that created the character and the person that you are today. So it shows, and much respect. So saying what you have said, let's move forward now into how you got about with Our Kitchen Catering, because as you stated, you come from a line of cooks in your family, and you were actually catering while still on the force, and now that you are, you know, 30-something, no, you can't be 30, you know, your season now, and you are still young, so you have a second chance. So let them know how you got the name Our Kitchen Catering and what has happened from the time we last spoke, because there's some changes that has been made, which is great. So let them know, and then I will do the asking. You heard? Thank you very much for your participation.
I got you. So ultimately what happened was prior to leaving the job, I had a partner, and he owns a party rental business. Ultimately, he was able to purchase a hall as well. So he has a hall. He does everything from bouncy houses to, you know, all of the tablecloths and the centerpieces and the, all of the different photo booths and the 360 photos. And he does all these kind of things. And he and I have always talked about, you know, my wanting to get into the food industry. And so one of the guys who had retired before I did rented the was looking to rent some stuff from my old partner and asked him about a caterer. He needed somebody to make food. So, of course, my partner, you know, directed him towards me, hence my first catering gig, which was someone I had already known for years and had no idea that this was something that was kind of, like, I was pushed in that direction. So so that was my first catering gig. Here I am countless events later and just decided to let's make this a little bit more official rather than just, hey, word of mouth, somebody just, you know, gives me, you know, an event here or there. Let's make this more official. Let's do it, you know, the right way. So I got some advice from a friend of mine, my friend Rudy, and he basically told me, listen, you know what, you got to get the LLC going. And, you know, he pointed me in the direction of LegalZoom. I went through them and I got, you know, some information, and basically I got the LLC up and running. And then what I did was I went through New York City has a what's called a food handlers course, and so I took and passed the food handlers course, you know, so certified to be able to, you know, for food protection services, what it's called, and you know they teach you how to the different temperatures that foods have to be for cold as opposed to hot, how to, you know, avoid cross contamination, how to make sure things are clean, you know. How to make, you know, your counters have to be a certain level off the floor and all that kind of, there's a number of different things that I can go through. I don't want to bore you with that stuff. So I got that stuff and then I just got out there and I started working. And it wasn't until very recently that I realized that I had kind of put the cart before the horse. Now, this is where dealing with business is going to come into play, and I hope I'm not getting ahead of myself. I hope this is not a question that you had planned on asking me later on down the line. But so what I realized is that when it comes to certain businesses, whatever it might be, whether it's food, whether it's clothing, whether it's jewelry, or whatever it is that you're looking to do, you have to find out what it is you need. What is needed for where you're looking to provide this service. So I knew that at some point I would have to get my I would have to get into a commercial kitchen, which, you know, they call them commissary kitchens, which are like, you know, they're like shared kitchens. So you know, different, you know, food providers can get into a commissary kitchen and just rent space, you know, to be able to do what they have to do. So it was the search easiest. It was something that I was having a lot of difficulty figuring out, you know, where I can go, what was available. So, you know, I tried some of the local restaurants in the area just to see if I could maybe convince them to allow me to come in, you know, on or just on specific occasions when I have an event to be able to utilize their kitchen. So it wasn't until I got directed towards a lodge up in Yorktown Heights, and that was when they showed an interest in allowing me to rent their kitchen, but they had questions that kind of took me back to, you know, where I should have been originally. So they were asking me questions about you know, like catering permits and different things like that. And it wasn't until then that I realized that, hey, you know what, you have to stop, take a step back, and you need to get your permits and your certifications in order. You know, I was also looking at a spot at a farmer's market. You know, they're interested in having me come and set up a booth to showcase some of my foods. And you have to get permits for everything that you're trying to do when it comes to the food industry. And all of these permits come from different departments of health. So the farmer's market, if you're keeping up with me, the farmer's market is in Putnam County. But the kitchen that I'm looking to utilize is in Westchester County. So now you're talking about different permits for different counties to be able to do these things. And it became something where it was more stressful, the behind-the-scenes stuff, than it was actually preparing food. But these are things that, you know, you have to, if this is what you're looking to do, this is your passion, you want to do this, you want to start your own business, these are things that you have to be mindful of, that you have to take the time, do the research, find out what it is you need, what kind of permits you need, what sort of certifications that you need, what sort of courses you have to take, whether, you know, it be food or, like I said, clothing or jewelry. And then, you know, then you start to work on your brand, on your you know, your craft and your trade. So I'm really excited about the farmer's market because should I be able to get into the farmer's market, it will give me more exposure. So when it comes to catering right now, everything is either through social media or word of mouth. I don't have a website up as of yet. But once you get the exposure, once you get out there and people are able to sample what it is that, you know, you're able to do, that's when, you know, they're interested possibly in hiring you as a caterer. Because let's face it, you know, if you want to, you know, if you're having an event, say you're having a graduation party, a birthday party, wedding, whatever the case may be, you kind of want to know what the food is like, what it's about, you know, how is it, you know, what the trays look like, you know, how much you're getting, and, you know, for the amount of money that you're spending. You kind of want to know these things. And it's kind of hard to know these things from someone who you don't really know. So now if you're able to come to me at a farmer's market and you're able to purchase a plate of food, then you can kind of get an idea of, you know, hey, this guy's food, you know, different things that he makes. I like this. I like that. He's giving me a decent portion. Maybe this is somebody I might be interested in working with or hiring or whatever the case would be. So getting started with all your permits, your certifications, get your LLC, get your exposure. And then the last thing, which would definitely not, it's not the least thing, but it's the last thing I just mentioned, is your insurance. You have to have insurance, especially when it comes to the food industry. You have to have insurance to make sure that if, you know, someone makes a claim against you or the location where you're preparing the food, you know, that you're covered for these things. So these are things that I have accomplished since the last time, I was on the air with T. So I have my insurance, I have my certifications, and, you know, I have my permits. So I'm just, you know, I'm just moving forward now, riding, you know, getting the, riding the ship and getting the horse in front of the cart, so to say.
Well, that is awesome, C, and kudos to you. And I'm grateful because everything you said is, or shall I say, because it's multiple, everything you said are gems for those that are looking to get into businesses. Because as I stated before bringing you on, we're in a climate where everyone wants to be an entrepreneur. Everyone can start a business. but they're not walking with the proper tools. And as you stated, you was riding the cart before the horse. Or was the horse before the cart? Something like that, right?
Yes,
but it was your learning. Ta-da,
yes.
Thank you very much. Because there's the wheels or what they got. I don't know. You know, we flying now. I don't know. You went through the process because everything is a process. And as I stated earlier, you know, people may look at someone else and say, oh, I can do that. But we all have different gifts and different temperaments. So it's not as easy as it looks, but you have to be persistent and determined, and it has to be your assignment to go through these channels to get to where you visualize yourself in getting. So I appreciate you being transparent and dropping these gems, because it's not just about the food industry or what you're doing. It's about anything we do. And with food, yes, you have to have insurance, just like we have to have a car insurance, house insurance, liability, because you got suitors out here. But with food, the contamination and so forth, but it also has placed you right where you need to be, and congratulations to you. So with that being said, the farmers market is something else that you have stated, which I think is also important for us as individuals, and whatever it is that we want to do, or if we want to relocate, or what I have learned after, you know, relocating from NYC after retirement, is that every state, like you said, every county, you have to have a permit for their county. The things that I have learned moving out of state, we're still in the United States of these America, but every state has different policies. So that, too, one needs to make sure they do their due diligence before making these things, to do the research, to be okay with going into the restaurants like you did and talking to people. And I think that's one of the things we have lost the art of, are the networking, the communication. We are human. We're all human. Don't be afraid or fear to talk to people.
Right.
Because there are people
willing to talk
to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's actually it's important what you just said. So we have to make sure that no matter where you are, you're compliant, which basically means that whatever county, whatever city, whatever town, province, whatever state, whatever the case may be, that you're compliant with those whatever the laws are for those particular areas. And for myself, what I discovered was reaching out to these different health departments, because I had to speak with someone with the health department in New York City, as well as with Westchester, as well as with Putnam County. And I found them to be somewhat receptive. These are people who will, you know, get back in contact with you if you leave them a message, or if you email them, you know, once it gets assigned to the person that covers that particular area, they usually are willing to speak with you, explain to you what you need, kind of walk you through it, and, you know, and if there's fees involved, they will explain to you the fees, they will tell you where you can come and make these payments, and different things like that. Like, I'm always a little pessimistic, when it comes to, dealing with, you know, certain municipal agencies. And, you know, it's mainly because, you know, you're expecting that, you know, these people are so overwhelmed, they're so busy doing other things, and that what I have going on is not, you know, significant enough for them to really get back to me. But I found that no matter where I was reaching out to or trying to communicate with, these people were getting back to me, even though I was a small independent business of one, you know, of one owner, one worker, you know, just one person on this business. And it just reach out to people, send them emails, call them, whatever the case may be, and get the information, because you're better off getting the information, because a lot of times, you know, it's not as difficult as we think it is. It just might be a little bit more tedious, and you just have to get things done, you know.
Well, you know my motto, keep on keeping on. That's what my grandma would tell me. Because, again, we have to remember you are important. Like you stated, you're a small business, one worker, but it only takes one. Others have already paved the way and have that wisdom. So it doesn't mean we had to walk into a building of a university or a school to be the student. We got the teachers all around us. And even with the tools that you have within 30 years of NYPD, that's not something small that you can just say 30 years. You put in a lot of work, commitment, family, friends, your well-being, and, you know, fighting for the community and others that didn't like you just because you had on a uniform or they already looked at you and scoped you as, oh, yeah, you one of them. Ah, I am one, but I'm not them. Can we get a high five? Go Chef C, go Chef Clay, you know what I'm saying? Our kitchen catering. So with that being said, C,
so
you have
I'm
been
sorry,
busy.
I have to interrupt you one more time, and I do apologize, and I hope you can hold on to that thought. You did ask me.
I don't know, but go ahead.
you did ask me the where'd the name come from? So our kitchen, I already mentioned to you before, our kitchen is not a location. Our kitchen is a concept. I mentioned before that, you know, I grew up around a number of different cooks, different recipes, different techniques and ways of doing things in the kitchen. And so our kitchen is more of a concept because it's what I've learned, you know, since I was a kid, and just putting all of those different things together, all of those techniques and recipes together, and that's how I got our kitchen. And I tell anyone, you know, I'll tell you guys, I'll tell everyone who I run into, and I tell them about my concept. Don't mention any recipes in front of me because I might steal them and put them on my menu, because that's the whole purpose of our kitchen, you know. So that I knew that was another question that I needed to answer for you. Sorry for cutting you off.
No, that's fine. Listen, this is all about you. Like I said, hey, it is what it is. I know how to step back. Go ahead and state your facts. So, yeah, y'all already heard him. He's being transparent and honest with you all. Do not mention any recipes around him because he might steal them. How you going to steal and you in NYPD? What kind of situations are you conducting,
no.
sir?
No, I'm Mr. Clarence now.
Okay, Mr. Clarence. Well, that's awesome. That is awesome. Collectively, your family recipes and what they deposit in you, you are now depositing within us. And I must say I am one that has been able to indulge just a little bit because I was going through some things, but my family was able to really take the whole majority of the grub, the dishes that you blessed us with when I was back home in February. And family, let me tell you all, my family said, my mother, my aunt, my sister, and my mother made my cousin a plate to go without me being there. Thank you, mother. Each dish has its own taste. And it just was quiet in the kitchen because they was getting their eat on. Like, y'all okay? Y'all breathing? Can you? So I had a taste. I would post the video, but my mom, you know, she's at home and she's relaxed. So I don't want y'all to, you know, say something about my mom and then I have to go off. You know what I mean? But, see, your food, every dish was delicious. So what are some of the best repeated dishes that your clients are requesting for their events? And which events are you most hired for? And why do you think why? How about that?
Okay, so the dishes. So Basically, I try not to limit myself to one particular cuisine. So we basically specialize in southern food, of course, seafood, and some Italian foods. Those that we have been getting a lot of requests for would be, believe it or not, is the macaroni and cheese. For some reason, it just macaroni. The macaroni and cheese is just like it just it transcends different, you know, races and backgrounds or whatever case it be. Everyone loves macaroni and cheese. So I always get requests for macaroni and cheese. I do a soy wing, which it's basically it's soy, honey, ginger, and orange. Marinate them overnight, grill them, and, you know, I get a lot of requests for that. I do a sautéed shrimp with peppers, and there's like a pinot grigio and lemon, different herbs and spices that I do with that. So I get a lot of requests for the shrimp. What else did they ask for? I just recently did a retirement party for one of my my former coworkers, and they requested, you know, some of the Italian dishes. So I did meatball. I did chicken parm, penne alla vodka. What else did I do? It's like, I get so scatterbrained sometimes because, you know, the menus kind of like they blend into each other. But so those are like some of my main things. Like I can do southern foods. I can do fried chicken, which it's often asked for as well. Fried chicken, of course, greens, you know, the mac and cheese, the Italian dishes. I can do, like I said, the chicken parma, the chicken frances. I can do different pastas like the baked ziti's. And just so everyone knows, I do things different ways. So I can do ziti. I have a friend of mine who requests the ziti. He doesn't like meat in it, so I do just cheese. I can do ground beef. I also do turkey in that. My collard greens, I only season my vegetables with turkey, with smoked turkey. The only time, you know, there's pork in anything is when it's an actual pork dish. So it's ribs or just pineal, you know, the roast pork or maybe baked ham. Those kind of things is when it's actual pork. Everything else is seasoned with turkey meat. So then there's also like, you know, then there's the seafood. Like I'll do, you know, I can do shrimp in different, you know, different ways. I do shrimp. I fry, I saute. I can grill the shrimp. I also do, you know, I do lobster tail. I can do scallops. So I'm starting, actually I do, the fried, oh man, I'm so scatterbrained right now. Sorry. The catfish nuggets. And then trying to branch out and do a little bit more. I tried my hand at Bronzini, so I do that with it's like a sea bass. It's sauteed in olive oil with some, you know, some herbs and spices, and, you know, then you add, you know, some different elements to that. Once you get the fish, you know, cooked 80%, you pull it out, you add a little herbs and spices into the pan, you know, a little butter, some white wine, you put that back in there, let that finish up. And you dress that up with capers, and, you know, that goes with, you know, different things. Like I could do roasted potatoes with that, some fresh sauteed spinach, possibly even some asparagus with that. So, you know, just trying to do more than just, you know, the norm, you know, like just mac and cheese, collard greens, and fried chicken, and just trying to do other things a little bit more. And then I'm also working on some, I should call them starters in a sense. And they would be more like like private events, if you hired me to come to your home, so you have between 10 and 20 people in your home, and you wanted me to come there and to make some things for you. So I do a prosciutto and brie with fig on nice toasted bread. I do shrimp and grits with little bacon that, you know, come in small cups. Man, I have to actually look at the menu to see some of the other things that I do. I can do sliders for you. I can do, pork, beef, and chicken sliders. There's just a number of different things that I can do that I don't really remember off the top of my head because the menu, you know, I'm expanding the menu and trying to do a little bit more as far as like branching out away from just the norm, just what everyone's so used to seeing, and just being able to do different things because you want to be able to, you have to be somewhat versatile because you have to be able to cater for different venues, because some people are going to want Italian, some people are going to want seafood, some are going to want, you know, soul food, and some may want a combination of both, or a combination of the three, I should say. And then as far as the type of events, I really haven't had, like, more of one than others. I've done everything from christenings to birthday parties. I actually did a wedding. I guess if I had to say, I would say birthday parties are probably the biggest event. I've done baby showers. My largest event was a baby shower. We had probably about 120, 125 people for that particular event. So that's basically where I'm at right now. Like I said, just working on the menu, trying to expand, just, you know, tweaking it, maybe adding some things, taking some things off. And just, it takes a while. I've been doing this less than a year now. There's a lot of other things that have, you know, in the background, like we mentioned before about permits and certifications. And, you know, just really trying to get the menu that really is going to work. You know, and this is something that you may have to take a look at, you know, when you're starting your own business, is what's going to work for where I'm trying to market my product, you know. So if you're marketing your product in an area where, you know, people like tacos and empanadas, you may have to kind of tweak your menu for those kind of things. Areas where, you know, people like a plate of food, you know, you may have to, you know, cater towards that. If you're looking at marketing clothing, you know, maybe you're working in and you know, you're marketing towards an inner city, you know, more of an urban kind of environment, you know, baseball caps, t-shirts might work out for you. You know, if you're more upstate, more around, you know, areas where, you know, I'm kind of like committed to, there are a lot of lakes around here, so maybe instead of baseball caps, maybe you might go with fisherman hats. You know, just different things that might appeal to the makeup of the area. You know, so you just have to, like, you know, do your research and, you know, come up with a marketing plan, come up with a marketing strategy, you know, and how to get your stuff out there.
Well, that's exactly what it is. You know, I come from marketing promotions as well. So, yeah, you have to know your audience and what audience you're targeting. So that's where the marketing comes from. And know, you know, like you said, your age bracket, you know, where you really want to be, but it's basically combining and making sure you are creating your brand properly because your brand is you and nobody else. So that's awesome. And like you said, you've been doing this for less than a year. So you have accomplished a lot. And me knowing you, again, I congratulate you. And as I will continue to tell you, take one day at a time. Don't be hard on yourself because you one of them geniuses. You know, you'd be like, okay, see, you good. You know what I mean? You know, let your hair down. a chance.
Ah, well,
if
I had some.
It's all good. So, yeah, right on. High top phase. But look here, see, I first, and also, please, I apologize, because my mind be going, ooh, I couldn't remember the days of the week. Anywho, happy belated Father's Day to you and all the fathers in your circle. And all the fathers that are listening to us, again, I am one to appreciate my brothers, our men that are fathers and those that are not fathers, but they are fathers to others. We appreciate you. I appreciate you. So regardless upon the trials and tribulations that you have gone through and you may still be struggling a little bit, please know that you are appreciated, and I am one that is, I have to say this, see, because I'm kind of discussing this one thing I want to set off, but I just do a lot of research and be ticking me off. Please start listening to people that have something going for themselves and not just a talker with no substance. They are creating so much of a division among us, and I'm just speaking about us black men and women, that our future is looking very dim, and I don't want to talk too much about it because I will go left. That's how picked off it has me, see. So, I just want to let you all know, Miss Tanya E., your sister, appreciate you all. And even though, you know, you may not have had a great relationship with your father, as me being a mother to my son, a relationship with my son's father, we all still play a part. We all still play a part. So if you have not healed from your traumas or whatever case may have been that led you to be the person that you are, love people from a distance, but don't lose your peace trying to fix somebody else. Whew, my neck just shook. Huh. Anywho, going back to the Father's Day, now, the pictures that are on our show, you tore it up the grill for your family on Father's Day. Tell us, what did you prepare? Because I'm one, I don't eat meat like that, you know, but like others do. And that, I didn't know, was that a steak? I don't know what it was. I just know it was red meat. And your caption is a tomahawk. I don't even know who Tomahawk is, but we're going to give Tomahawk a high five, because the way you prepared that and the way the lobster, all that stuff, ooh-wee, pass me a plate. But anywho, tell us about that, and then tell them how they can get in contact with you, because our time is winding down. But as always, see, I appreciate you. Is there something else that I may not have asked of you? I'll ask, if we go offline, family, you don't hear us, then we're just going to take another extra 5 minutes. Are you okay with that, see?
I'm good. I'm good with that. So,
okay.
So, so things that that we, you know, we strive for, and we you know, we put it on the menu, is if you don't see it, ask, because there are some, we've had a couple of clients who've asked for things that are not on the menu, not my norm, but ask me about it and we'll figure it out. So getting back to Father's Day, tomahawk steaks. I'm used to doing like a little bit more of an easier steak to kind of make. Like the filet mignon, I'll get it, slice it up nice and thin, or even like the sirloin, I'll slice it nice and thin, season it up the night before, get it, you know, on the grill, a couple of minutes per side, so, you know, get a nice little brown on it, throw it with some onions or whatever case it be, and, you know, you're good to go. But this particular time, I wanted to do something special. You know, my stepfather was coming up. I haven't been able to spend, excuse me, a Father's Day with him in quite some time, so I really wanted to do something special, and I thought that the tomahawk steaks were like, that was really, that would really like be impressive, you know just something for him. So originally it was going to be myself, my stepfather, and my brother, three of us, and it ended up being about 20 people by the time we had finished. So It went from one tomahawk steak to four tomahawk steaks. For those of you who don't know what the tomahawk steak is, it's just a really big ribeye steak, and they leave the extended rib bone on there, and it's just for appearance. So one of the things I learned from you know, doing steak, more specifically doing steak on the grill, is temperatures. If you are paying attention to your temperatures, then you can get, you know, your rare, you know, your medium rare, your medium well, and your wells. And those are all based on temperatures, and they're pretty much dead set on. So if you got at least one or two really good thermometers, utilize those when you're trying to get it a certain way. The other thing is, when you're measuring, you know, the temperature of your meat, you have to go towards your thickest part, right? That's what they always say. But these particular steaks, you really need to kind of get that thermometer lead right into where the deepest part of where the meat meets the bone. That takes, for some reason, the longest time to cook. So you'll notice that, like, as you're cutting your steak, it's a nice, you know, pinkish brownish kind of color, and the closer you get to the bone, the more it's a reddish kind of color. So you just want to make sure in there you're getting it to a decent temperature. You know, you can look it up and see which one it is. I particularly went for 150 right by the bone. That was perfect. And then steak has to sit. It has to sit. It has to rest. You got to give it a couple of minutes. You can't just pull off the grill and start cutting. It has to sit and rest for a few minutes before you can really start, you know, cutting into it. So it turned out pretty good. And all I do on steak for the most part is I do salt and pepper. That's pretty much it. If I do steak in the house in a pan, you know, there might be some butter or some rosemary involved with it, but grilled steak, just pretty much salt and pepper. So what else did we have to complement that? I did grilled lobster tail. I did grilled shrimp. I did my sauteed shrimp that I mentioned to you guys earlier. I did crab balls, macaroni and cheese, yellow rice. I did my prosciutto and brie, charcuterie board. What else did I do?
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I had the charcuterie board. Who?
The charcuterie board. The charcuterie board. That is when you take, like, different cheeses and meats and fruits and you kind of cut it up and you make a nice little display. I don't know if you've ever seen that before.
Oh.
Like, you know, like they have the,
oh, yeah.
It'll have cheese, it'll have salami, it'll have fruit, it'll have crackers, all those kind of things laid out on the board. Yeah, that's a charcuterie board.
Thank you.
And the shrimp and grits. So, that being said, I said I didn't make all of those things. So when it comes to the shrimp and grits, my brother, hands down, his grits are amazing. So I let him do the grits, and I prepared the shrimp, and I did a Peter Luger bacon on the grill that I glazed with barbecue sauce, with a Sweet Baby Ray, to add to that particular dish. So it was the shrimp, it was the grits with shrimp and the Peter Luger bacon, and a piece of Peter Luger bacon. When it came to the charcuterie board, she's my daughter, you know, like some people call her my stepdaughter, but she's my daughter. Does the hell out of a charcuterie board. She does her thing. Then there is the What else was done? Oh, and my daughter lives in Maryland, came up here with the crab. We get the crab from Papa's in Maryland. I don't know if you guys have ever had crab cake from Papa's in Maryland, but if you haven't and you like crab, you got to get on that for real. It's ridiculous. But that being said, so that was the contribution from others, you know, as far as like, you know, adding to the day. But for the most part, you know, I do the grill, and it's like I do most of the cooking because it's where I'm comfortable, it's where I like to be, and it's what I love, it's my passion, so, you know. And I'm happy when I see people enjoying the food, I see, you know, and I'm one of those kind of people, T, where it's like I need feedback, right? And when I say I need feedback, I don't need you to tell me it was wonderful. If something was bad, I need you to tell me, yo, dude, don't ever do that again. You know, I need you to tell me, take that off the menu and forget about it and don't ever do that again, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, you got to have
well,
that.
Well, I say,
you know, you gotta
well, definitely, you need that constructive criticism because it's only going to help you build. You know, some people like to sugarcoat. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't sugarcoat. That's why. It is what it is. But you all had a whole family affair, and your daughter,
said
she brought the crab cakes from Maryland. You know, Maryland, Baltimore, Baltimore, Maryland is known for their seafood. So when they go places that claim to be seafood and they taste the seafood, they're like, this is not seafood. Where's this artificial intelligence?
It comes from Papa's. It comes from Papa's, and I'm telling you right now, you have to experience this. The next time you get up here and I prepare some food for you, I gotta make sure I get you some of that. But one thing I did forget, I know that, you know, you're from that particular area, and that's the area that I was kind of working at one time. The West Indian food, I make a jerk rib. That is, I thought they were going to get into a fight on the deck over this jerk rib. It's so good.
You know what, Yadiman? You don't put the jerk turkey. You don't put jerk rib on your menu.
Listen. Don't get smack up, yeah. Put the piece back down, yeah. But I'm just telling you, it's like I tried it a couple of times with the baby back ribs. And everybody was going crazy about it. They were like, it was so good. I found that Costco's, they have the, what do they call them, the St. Louis rib? The rib that's like a flat rib. So it's like a St. Louis rib, right? And what they do is they cut it the long way. So it's like almost like a long strip of riblets. And I made that. I did that with some jerk. Oh, yo, T. I don't even think I got any of that. It was gone. But just like I said, just trying to diversify, do different things. You know, that's why I continuously, you know, my brother and I get together and we just, you know, we try different things. And it's like, yo, listen, can this go on the menu? What about this? What about these things? Maybe we can put this on the menu, take something else off, whatever case may be. And that's basically what we're doing. So it's like, it may take us, you know, another year or so or whatever before we get everything the way we really want it. But, you know, it takes time. It takes time to really put these things together, you know.
Now, wait a minute. I just heard – okay, hold up, because big up to Brother Alfonso. I really feel old now. I'm not old. I'm seasoned. So – Brother Alfonso is also working. Well, again, it is a family affair. So he's coming to bring his spices within our kitchen catering as well.
So I don't know if you like shrimp and grits.
Yeah, my people from the South Main. Let me go back real quick. See. Back home in New York, my mother, you know, my mother's from Tuskegee, Alabama. My daddy from Charleston, Waterboro, all them, right down here, right? Chucktown. Raise up. I normally used to just eat fish and grits in New York. It's not until
fish and
I relocated south. Right. It wasn't until I moved south after retirement in Charleston.
Yeah.
is when I was introduced to the shrimps, the grits. And I'm like, what is this? And I must say this, too. One day I was at my father's house, and he was upstairs, and I'm thinking it was chicken wings on his stovetop he had cooked. And I'm eating a little thing, and I'm like, wait a minute, why this wing so little? And looked at the bone. I'm like, this is not a chicken. What is this? And I'm like, oh, snap, this is Kermit.
It's shrimp.
So I was like, you made me eat a Kermit, a frog. He was like, nobody told you to touch my food. So you got to ask what you're about to indulge in and stuff, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
You got to ask what you're indulging in. No. I'm just running my mouth right now. But I grew up on fish and grits, whether it was whiting, porgy, croaker, whatever it was. It was seasoned. It was, you know, you put some of that flour, cornmeal on that. And you fry that sucker up and have that with some hot sauce and some grits and maybe an egg or something like that. Oh, man, that was like Sunday morning breakfast. But like you said, this whole new thing of the shrimp and grits is only like, as far as I can remember, it goes back maybe 5 or so years up here with the shrimp and grits, you know, that I can remember. I'm pretty sure it goes back further than that. But I'm not even going to sit here and tell you what he does to it, but his grits are ridiculous. So good, because it's not just the plain grits. He's cooking them a certain way. And I just decided, hey, you know what? I wanted to do a different shrimp a different way and add the bacon to it. And we did that, and it was just like nothing but empty cups. It was insane how it went on Sunday. He does an oatmeal as well, and I'm not even going to get into that. It's just something that you just have to experience for yourself, this oatmeal. But it's not sweet. It's savory. And I told him that, you know, once we get to the point where we're beyond the catering thing and we're really out there and looking for exposure and we got our food truck and everything else, if we ever are out in the morning and we ever do breakfast, it's definitely going to be on the menu. This oatmeal has to go on the menu. It's insane how he does this. And it's like, you know, he's always my biggest supporter, my biggest fan. He's always like, yo, Clarence, you just really – you're doing your thing with the cooking and everything else. And I think for the most part, you know, my menu is way more vast and advanced than maybe his is right now. But there are some things that he does that I just won't even touch. Like, he's given me his recipe for the shrimp and grits, but I won't even try it. It's like I'm so afraid of trying it because he does it so good. You know, it's just... and he just does it effortlessly, you know, and it just comes out. It's insane. People were going crazy over these grits. And I did it like as a, like a starter, you know. I did it as like, you know, in a cup with a shrimp and a piece of bacon, and there you go, boom. And it was just so, it was so good. It was crazy. But he, beyond helping me with the menu, I mean, you know, with the different recipes, he is my photographer. So he's the one, you know, who comes by and takes a lot of the photos of me when you see me with the food and you see a lot of the food pictures. That's what he does. You know, he comes by and he's, you know, helping me out with that. He does a lot of the social media stuff. Because I was doing it on my own and not doing a really good job at it. So now he's come along and it's getting a lot better now, you know?
Well, that's the thing, see. Like I said, it's our kitchen catering, like you said, it's a concept. So it's a collective recipe and just love within the family that has passed it on. You continue to pass it on. And you give those that have the gift to do their thing. And the pictures, Alfonso, he definitely has an eye because I look at the things, you know, the pictures as well and seeing the angles. He knows what he's doing. So, yeah, you did say earlier, don't show you our recipes because you'll steal it. But we know that was just a saying because you just told us the truth. You are not going to touch someone's recipe because you just don't want to touch it. You let that person do what they do.
I'm not touching that at all. My youngest son Isaiah does a macaroni and cheese with barbecue chicken and bacon, and he makes a tray of this. Like he'll do like he'll make a pan of it, and it's like you can't even get any.
This is what I'm going to say to the Fredericks and Lakes and and everybody over on that side.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, the pictures alone. I'm like, but you know, I'm not vegan. Of course, I'm not vegan. But you know, a sister over here trying to do some things to snatch something back that has taken over. So I'm doing good. So I can look at the pictures. I'm over here sipping on my smoothie, my water. You know, it is what it is. But family and Chef Clay, Chef Clarence, how can they get in contact with you? Because we're about to close out, but I want to say something else before we close out. But let them know, see, and then I'll do our close out.
Okay, so it's Our Kitchen Catering. The phone number is 646-493-8761. That's 646-493-8761. We can be reached at Clarence, C-L-A-R-E-N-C-E, at OurKitchenCatering.com. We're also on Instagram, Our Kitchen Catering. There's a few different Instagrams out there with similar names. We have the photo of the spoon and the spatula cross with the yellow border, and it's Our Kitchen Catering around the edges. And that's the best way to get in contact with me.
That's awesome, and I'm glad you said that because I'm not on social media. And when I was trying to find it, and if you're not on social media, you can't gain access, and, you know, you get the block, whatever the case may be. But I did see several of Our Kitchen, so I'm grateful that you said that as well. But also, I just want to thank you so much for blessing us with your time. See, again, it's not taken for granted. Your hard work is paying off. Continue to move forward. Be okay with the days you need to rest because you are retired now. So the other information that you are getting is for this second chance of your second half of your 100 and 200 and something years of being here, okay? So be kind to yourself. I'm grateful to all your family members that are partaking in your second chance as well and allowing each other to embrace their own gifts, you know, and that is a blessing within itself. So it is definitely a family affair. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much. As always, you're more than welcome to come back for updates. And again, all the gems that you have delivered today goes beyond what you're doing. It's just like life journey within itself. But trust the process. You're there.
Can I just say something? And in closing, I just want to thank you for creating this platform that I can go on and reach out to, you know, to your listeners and be able to just kind of get some exposure and put myself out there and, you know, be a little transparent so people can see who I am and what it is that I'm doing. And I really do appreciate, you know, you allow me to come on and give me this opportunity. And it's like, you know, I thank you so much for that. And a little bit off the beaten path, if I can, for any of you who are viewers of So You Think You Can Dance, please, you know, watch and support my little cousin, Waverly Fredericks. He's doing his thing. He's on, he was the last audition, episode 17, and I would imagine that there's going to be some more performances by him. His name is Waverly Fredericks, and he's doing his thing, and, you know, just go on and support him, please. Thank you.
Now, why are you about to make me cry? Oh, my goodness, when you showed me that clip. Family, like C said, please go support his cousin, Waverly Fredericks. His name fits him properly. He doesn't, you know, people like the profilers, oh, I look at you and I can see, boo-boo. When I viewed Waverly, that clip, I literally was crying because I felt his testimony, and as well as being a dancer, dancing was my outlet of letting go and dealing with, you know, family issues and whatever. And then as I've grown later in life, understood within the last several years that dancing is like embedded in my family. So I knew my mother was a dancer, but I didn't know it went as well as in my father's side. But y'all have to check him out. Oh my goodness, Waverly Fredericks. We support you over here, cuz. Do your thing. May have to meet you on the ones and twos, you know, on the dance floor, but I'll make sure there's a chair and tell your mother to come too, because I've seen she was a dancer. We probably more than likely crossed paths in the music industry as she, you know, danced in some music videos as well. So I know
I would say definitely, you guys probably ran in the same circle. Yes.
Yeah, no, well, you know, I didn't run in circles. I dipped and dived, did my thing, boom, I'm out. So I be cross paths.
Okay.
I ain't rolling in circles. I still don't roll in circles. I do what I do, and I'm a social bug, but it is what it is, but definitely it is. But look at here, family. Please support our brother, Chef Clarence, of Our Kitchen Catering, and he's in New York City only, family. So if you in Jersey, do you do Connecticut?
No, we can't do Connecticut. I can't sit here and tell you I can do Connecticut and Jersey just yet. So.
Okay, the jurisdiction. Got you. Again, it's all within your paperwork. So it's all good. No, because again, this is learning process. You know, again, you have to assure yourself of somebody don't come. He came to Connecticut and cooked me some food and something else happened. He ain't had permit. He ain't had insurance. So no, your coverage is NYC. So y'all be sure to check him out, family. Please continue to take care of yourselves, family. Again, we can't stress enough on we all are dealing with something. And even though you may see me smiling, please believe Tanya is fighting. Don't project what you're going through on someone else, because you have a lot of people that want to dump their trash on you and speak negatively and all these things and just snatch your whole peace. Don't let nobody take your peace, family. Please believe that. So we're about to get on out of here, family. And again, thank you so much, Steve, for taking the time out to break bread with us. And
thank you so much.
You're, like I said, more than welcome to come back on here. And I don't know when I'm going to be back on, because I'm on sabbatical leave. So when God permits me to come back on, and if it's interesting enough for me to come back on, family, I shall return. However, know that your sister is maintaining her sanity to the best of her abilities. I'm fighting battles that you have no idea what I'm fighting. However, I am still blessed going in and coming out. You heard? So you are too. Ha-ha. So, family, we're getting out of here. Again, you're listening to Sound Off. Only fear. Fear is a fear does not live here. I'm your host, Miss Tanya E., also known as Miss Right Now, that grown woman doing grown things, seasoned by the experience to have grown this wisdom. So don't get it twisted. And we have been able to break bread with our special featured guest, Our Kitchen Catering own Chef Clay, Chef Clarence. And we're going to glean one out of here. And I'm going to give it a little something from my peoples, my bloodline in the Tuskegee, Alabama. We're going to go down to some Commodores, and we're going to close out with some Brick House. Family, y'all have a blessed week. Remember to stay safe. Be kind to one another. First of all, be kind to yourself and love yourself, but don't be stingy. And be mindful who you're talking to and who you're listening to, so don't you do not become the company of those that are going left. You continue to walk right. Love y'all, family. We out.
It all hang out. I see that. is how the story goes.
She knows she's got everything that a woman needs to get a man.
Just letting it all hang out.